The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 8, if you would. Acts chapter 8. I'll tell you what, I appreciate being here, appreciate the invitation. Just a country preacher from down in Center Texas, and I'm sitting back there in that chair thinking, Lord, what in the world am I doing here in this large Southern Baptist church? Amen. I thought, wow, I've never been a Southern Baptist church this nice in all my life. What y'all looking at me that way for? It's in the South. It's Baptist, isn't it? Southern Baptist. All right. And the missionary priest, I tell you what, he said, didn't want to take up my time. I'm saying go ahead because I love to hear a missionary's burden. Amen. Burden. All right, if you found Acts chapter number 8, if you would stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Kind of like a hockey game, we're on the schedule up there. We've got the time going, and so we have to keep up with the correct time. Amen? Acts chapter number 8. Let's begin reading tonight in verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus and passing through the priests in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for loving and watch care of us. Thank you for this church and its great testimony. Thank you for its pastor. Father, we just pray tonight that you'll meet with us in a very special way. It's not what we have to say, it's what you have to say. And Father, I pray that you'll grip our heart in this matter of worldwide missions and faith promise. Do your work in our hearts. If there's one here lost, I pray they might be saved. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. You take 635 out here and you go around the loop to I-75. And you take 75 down to McKinney, Texas, and there's a highway you know goes across there, 121. 121 goes into a town up north there called Bonham, Texas. April of 1973 at 1209 Lynn Street in Bonham, Texas, God saved my soul. Amen. I tell you what, I hadn't got over it yet. That was 42 years ago. And I tell you what, I'm afraid a lot of folks are getting over it. You shouldn't get over your salvation, amen? Amen. But we got in church there that it was a faith promise church. I mean, one of the first things I learned, I was a saved Methodist for a week. Until I got in the church, got baptized, became a Baptist, amen? Amen. And Southern Baptist, right? No, Independent Baptist. But the first thing we learned is eternal security of the believer. I said, wow, what a doctrine. Because I always had a hope so, maybe so business, but knowing that God could save your soul and keep you safe for all eternity, what a thrill that was. The next thing I learned on the wall in the Sunday school was that it says the tithe is the Lord's. Understand this week that the tithe is not your faith promise. I mean, don't take your faith promise out of your tithe. Don't be a thief, amen? That's honesty. But the next thing I learned was faith promise missions giving. So I practiced that for 42 years. And I tell you what, it's just second nature. You know what faith promise is all about. It. Maybe some of you have never heard about faith promise or whatever. But before this week's over, you'll know what it's about. Amen. God blesses faith promise missions. Amen. Matter of fact, preacher, I think it was Bob Hughes when he came back, went across this country preaching, one of the first ones to preach faith promise missions giving. I want to preach you tonight a message in the time that we have called Plus One. Plus One. In September of 1994, I had the privilege of going to Belarus with C.W. Fisk, a great soul winner. Many of you know Brother C.W. Fisk. And I saw firsthand Matthew 9, 36 and 38 with my own eyes. I saw the multitudes. And by the way, there are more today than ever have been before. I saw the harvest is plenteous. I saw laborers are few. And I saw the need to pray for laborers. And I had the privilege of that group that we went with Brother C.W. Fisk and some college students. I had the privilege on one occasion to preach and saw 136 respond to the invitation. I thought, wow, it's almost at that time God had opened that window in Belarus. It's closed down now. But God opened that window and thousands were getting saved. I heard about that. And I'm like a lot of folks. I get kind of skeptical. I said, oh, that, because I preached to Americans. And, you know, they're kind of hard-headed. They don't respond real well. But I was kind of skeptical. Did you see thousands of people saved? But I went. And if you know C.W. Fisk, you know he's a thorough soul winner. It's not just, you know, one, two, three, repeat after me, anything like that. I mean, he was thorough in what he did and had the privilege of seeing 136 folks saved on that one occasion. Everywhere we went, folks were getting saved. And I tell you what, it was work. It really was. I mean, it was a good work. And you saw that over there with 3,000 being saved. But every time the invitation was given, in 2 weeks' time, we saw 2,643 professions of faith. People being saved and dealt with and making professions of faith. But of all those 2,643, when it came down to it, there was one. And when I looked at the program tonight, I looked at that song, The Value of One. I thought, boy, this is going to go right into The Value of One. And after we got through with all that and we started back home, and by the time, if you see that many people saved, you get a little bit pumped up. And I come back to the airport, and I'm thinking, you know, man, I just want to see one more save. I want to see one more save, but I didn't speak the language. Amen. We used a lot of our interrupters over there. And so I got back over there. I'm still pumped up, and I said, I just want to see, Lord, I'd just like to see one more save. But I didn't know who to talk to. But here come a young black man, and he walks in. He has a Dallas Cowboy ball cap on. I thought, he must speak English. And I followed him into the restroom. That's not a safe thing to do these days. But I'm tracking the guy down. And I strike up a conversation. He does speak English. And I find out his name is Luis Ricardo Perez. He was a intern. He was going to Moscow to learn medicine. He was headed on his way back home. But I'm going to tell you the rest of that story in a minute. And I want to preach tonight on plus one. Because plus one is so very, very important. I mean, sure, we want to reach the world. But, well, you know, that plus one is important also, amen? And I just want to give you a few things here, and we'll close this out tonight. But listen very closely, if you will, on this plus one. Let's look at our text tonight, what we've been reading here. And by the way, if you want a definition of missions, look at Mark 16:15. There's a lot of little cute things out there, but you get your definition for the Bible. And instead of going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that is missions. And that was given to the local New Testament church. It is our responsibility here. We're to tell everybody we can and send somebody where we can. We're all to be involved. We'll probably preach more about that this week. That every one of us, Paul told the Corinthians, every man. He didn't want anybody to be eased. He wants everybody involved. If you're a part of the body, you need to be involved in this area of faith promise missions. Amen. And so what we see here, first of all, is the messenger. We see here in verse number 6, the messenger is Philip. What is a missionary? He's a man on a mission. And we see that Philip was very busy right here. He was doing a great job, doing what God told him to do. But the Spirit of God came. By the way, we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It's not what man says. We're a voice. It's what the Holy Spirit of God says. And listen, let God speak to you this week. He can do it. I mean, we don't need to be looking what we can do. Let's see what God can do. And I'll tell you what, it'd be amazed if you get a hold of Faith Promise Missions, what God will do through you, amen. Some great and mighty things. But the messenger here is Philip. And by the way, according to Romans 10:15, he had some beautiful feet, amen, because he's a preacher of the gospel. But in Acts 8 and verse 4, it says, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the gospel. In Acts 8:25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, Acts 8:35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 8:40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So there's the messenger. And by the way, someone said you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. I mean, if you're saved, you're a missionary. Whether it's here or there, you're a missionary. You have a story to tell. You have good news. And by the way, it's only good news if it reaches the lost person in time, amen. But and if you're not saved tonight, you're a mission field. You need to become a missionary by being saved, amen. And so we have the message right here is Philip. But look at the mandate in verse number 26, arise and go. Folks, that mandate has not changed. I mean, it's not that difficult. I mean, arise and go. You do that on your bus route. Arise and go to, on your bus route. Your Sunday school class. I mean, we can't sit. Amen. We got to get up and we got to go. He talked about the fact we're in the last days. We're in urgent times. Amen. And souls are hanging in the balance today. We need to get out of our pews and get in the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in. The mandate is to rise and go. Get up and go. Bob Hughes would say, he said, what are you sitting there waiting for a call? He said, why are you waiting for a call? Folks are dying and going to hell. Get up. I mean, go anywhere. He said you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. You ever thought about this? You know, you're bus visiting and you're soul winning and you go up and knock on a door and all of a sudden somebody comes to you and says, excuse me, ma'am, that's the wrong address. If they came to the door and you went there, God had a purpose, amen. And let them know what the gospel's all about. See if they're saved. But we see the mandate in Matthew 8:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15, he said, I'm going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be with me both in Jerusalem. I thought I would never, ever see Jerusalem until, you know, the rapture and we came back and all that. We've had the privilege of four times going to Jerusalem now. And I tell you what a privilege it is. And you say, well, you can't go over there and just preach because it's against the law and hand out tracts, but there's ways you can do it. You can take your group over there and you can preach to your group. And if you preach loud enough, well, you can't tell who might hear, amen. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I'll tell you what, those Jews are curious. And by the way, guess what we give them? We give them a history book. Amen. And you just got to be wise, serve, harmless, and dumb. Amen. And in your pocket, guess what you have? What do you carry in your pocket? Not cigarettes. Okay, please don't. What have I got in my pocket? My soul. Oh, yeah. Track. By the way, you're not going to hand out tracks if you don't care them. Amen. But that's our business card. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, amen. And so we've had the privilege, and by the way, you just can't rush in. I understand that. But to the Jew first, God loves the Jew. And by the way, we would have loved the Jew. It's a shame our government doesn't love the Jew. And by the way, God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. We better love the Jew, amen. God hadn't done away with them. Acts 8:26, the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, that the way which goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is dead. You notice he said, preach it in Jerusalem, preach it from Jerusalem. We're just to preach the word of God, amen. That's the mandate. Go to where they are. Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Folks, he's talking about Isaiah, home missions right here. It's not only here, but it's there. It's all the world. God is bringing the mission field home to us today. In little old Center Texas, we have Burmese, Vietnamese, a whole lot of Spanish folks. I'm trying to learn Spanish, amen. Taco bueno and things like that. But anyway, a lot of things like that. And, you know, white folks, black folks, all oppression aside, amen. And God's bringing them to us. And not only around the world, but to us all. The mandate is to go. But the mission field, it's wherever God sends you. I've always told our missionaries, look, you better be ready to move because there's many times the missionary get there, there's going to be a, like you said, a Sudan right now, the revolt and all those things. And after those things are going all the time, but you better be ready to be able to move from here and there. But be a missionary, be ready, be prepared. The mission field is the world, amen. And he said, go to the south. God bless my heart. In August of 1975, I'd been saved for 2 years. And, man, I got in church and I got into the bus ministry and I just want to do something for God. And we went on a mission trip to Monterrey, Mexico, where Brother Tommy Ashcraft is. Back then, Mom and Popsy and Mimi were still alive, but we had some good times down there after we blew the motor of the buses up and things like that. But it was on a Monday night after traveling for 2 days and hot and hadn't slept and things like that God got a hold of my heart. And I went forward and surrendered my life to full-time service on the mission field, amen, in Monterey, Mexico. I miss that today. We don't go as often as we should because of the danger, but God will send you somewhere if you're willing to go, amen. Don't be overly concerned where the where is. Just be willing to go. Again, Bob Hughes said you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. He said go down to a desert place. And you know, a lot of times we want to go where it's popular. And that's what Philip was down there, and he was preaching. He was having a lot of folks saved. But the Spirit of God comes to him and says, I want you to go to Gaza, a desert place. And if he gets down to Gaza, a desert place, guess what he finds? One person sitting in a chariot coming back from a promise keepers meeting. You said, how do you know that? Because he had his Bible, he was trying to figure out what it's all about, and they sure didn't tell him. Yeah. Amen. But he said, understands what thou reason. He said, how can I let some man guide me? And so he bid him to come up in this chariot, and he began to preach to him Jesus. Isn't that amazing how Jesus in the Old Testament? Isn't that amazing? A lot of folks don't know that. Man, he's all over the Bible. And that's what folks need to hear, amen. We sit around wondering because of the fact we don't have a doctorate degree and we haven't been called. Let me tell you what, the world just needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. And he said if he be lifted up, that he'd draw all men unto him. We just need to lift Jesus up, amen, not worrying about how many degrees we have or whether or not God's called us or whatever. I mean, as Bob, he would say, he said, why do you need a voice when you got a verse? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's outside these doors. Amen? Maybe in here tonight, someone sitting here. John 4:35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already into harvest. A desert place. Who wants to go to a desert place? God put us in Center Texas, not the biggest town in the world. Matter of fact, how many of you know where Center Texas is? I'll give you a hint, it's not in the center of Texas. Amen. I think sometimes it's at the end of the world. It's right next to Louisiana. And you talk about a mission field. Louisiana is a mission field. Amen. But we thought, and we heard Dr. Josawa over in Cebu, that he had challenged his people. I think for years now, they have been saturating all those islands. And I don't know how many. It seemed like maybe a million, or maybe 4 million. It's a big number over the years. But I came back just charged up. I said, we're going to saturate Shelby County. And that's where Center is, the center of Shelby County, by the way. And so we started, I said, we're going to do this in a year's time. And so this wasn't our regular soul winning time. We'd do it after Saturday morning. We'd come back in the afternoon, and we'd take different teams. We got all over the county. We went to 2008, 2009. We still hadn't got all of it done. And we went to 2010 for a few months. Can I tell you what the results were? You may tell me to quit preaching, preacher. We had one young man and one old man. 2 years, you think, wow, is that all? I'm telling you what, folks, there are some places that are desert places. Oh, yeah. But God didn't say build the church. He said that you sow the seed. Yeah. Amen. And I know that God gave us people during that period of time that we didn't go after. Because what we did what God said to do. We went and we witnessed and we sowed the seed. But folks, it's God that gives the increase. Amen. And you don't quit just because you don't see a big harvest. There are some harvests where some, like Belarus was, and the Philippines are, and some of those. Let me tell you, there are some, Sudan is a lot of harvest there. But there are some places you can go to, there's not going to be an abundance. But God just says, they need to hear. Amen. And so they need to go tell them. And we see the mission field is wherever God sends us. Is that, what time is that, preacher? I see three numbers up there. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell this story, all right? Some of you may have heard this story before, but I came across it, and I thought, boy, it really tells what I want to say. It's the David and Sophia Flood story. Back in 1921, David and Sophia Flood had left Sweden with a 2-year-old son to serve in the Belgian Congo, and they left the main mission station to take the gospel to a remote village of Indalera. The chief would not allow them to come into the village, so what he did, they moved about a half a mile away and built their own huts. They prayed, but nothing happened. The only contact was with a young boy who had allowed them to sell chickens and eggs. He was the only convert. No other opportunities. As in Africa, many times it happens, malaria began to afflict the Ericksons, the other couple with the floods. The Ericksons returned to the main mission station. Sophia soon learned she was expecting another child, and she named the girl Anna. And Sophia died 17 days later. That was all David Flood could take. Something died inside him. With his own hands, he dug a grave. He buried his wife. He took his children back to the main station and handed his newborn daughter to the Ericksons. And he said, "I'm going back to Sweden." He said, "I've lost my wife, and my life is ruined. And God," he said, "God has ruined my life." And he turned his back on his daughter and his friends, his calling, and his God. It's a true story. Approximately 8 months later, the Ericksons died of a mysterious disease. The baby was given to some American missionaries. They called her Aggie. Came back to the States when she was 3 years old, grew up in South Dakota. The adoptive father became a pastor. He grew up, attended a Bible college in Minnesota. I met a young man named Dewey Hurst and later married. Dewey became the president of a Christian college in Seattle. Aggie met a number of Scandinavians in the area and found a Swedish religious magazine, a picture of a white cross adorning a simple grave. On the cross read the words, "Sophia Flood." She took the magazine to a friend who spoke Swedish to translate for her, and the friend explained the story about missionaries who had come to Indalera years earlier, told about the birth of a baby, the death of the mother. One young African boy who had trusted Christ as his Savior, and explained how the missionary had left. The boy had received permission from the chief to start a school in the village. That boy led all the students to Christ. The chief had become a believer, and now 600 believers lived in the village of Indalera. The college where Dewey Hurst served gave him and his wife a 25-year wedding anniversary present of a vacation in Sweden. While they were there, Aggie found her birth father, the missionary who left the field. David Flood was now an old man. He had married again, fathered four additional children, became an alcoholic, suffered a recent stroke. Still bitter in all these years, had reared his family with a rule, never mention the name of God. God took everything from me. Aggie met her three half-brothers and half-sister. They told her that when she saw her father, "Don't mention the name of God, he'll fly into a rage." The day came to meet her father. He lived in a little dirty little apartment, littered with liquor bottles, 77 years old. When he saw her, he said, "Anna, I never meant to give you away." But he said, "God forgot all of us. Our lives have been like this because of him." He rolled over in his bed, his face like granite facing the wall. Aggie said, "Papa, I have a story to tell you. You didn't go to Africa in vain." He told about that little boy and how it grew up to win the whole village. "That one little seed you and Mama planted grew and grew. And by the end of the afternoon, he was reunited not only with his daughter, Aggie, but also with his God." You know, the Bible tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, that we'll reap in due season if we faint not. Several years later, that's not the whole story. Several years later in London, England, a conference on evangelism. The Hurst listened to a report from the nation of Zaire, formerly the Belgian Congo. A leader of a national church spoke about the gospel, how it spread through his nation, and he was one of 110,000 baptized believers. Aggie went to him after the speech to inquire if he had heard of David and Sophia Flood. Through an interpreter, he told her he was the boy her parents had led to the Lord. He told her she must come to Africa. Her mother is the most famous person in our history. What I'm saying is, folks, sometimes we get disillusioned. We think if we don't see thousands saved, amen, our job is to plant the seed. The seed's no good in the barn. We got to get in the harvest field, and we can plant it, and we can plant it, and we can water it. And by the way, that's what a lot of preachers need to understand. You don't go to a church every 2 years. If you don't have a big harvest, quit. It takes years sometimes, and God's planted us, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. But, you know, for years and years, and 29 years, it took us 10 years to see, in our Christian school, it's been there for 45 years, it took us 10 years because the school wasn't doing right, 10 years, almost a whole generation, to have the first young person surrender to serve God. a whole generation. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing. Amen. The value of one, this man didn't realize. He thought, well, I'm a failure. Because all I've seen, you understand the great missionaries, Carey and some of these guys, I mean, they were years before they had one convert. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we want it right now. Good. We got to get out of this mentality. We have to have it right now. Yeah. You want to run out there and run a bus route and think you don't have 50 next week? You're going to quit? Man, you got to stay in there and stay in there. Amen. God will tell you when it's time to go. But we saturated in that desert place. I mean, we worked hard. We saturated. And there's, and I'm not giving excuses, but you know that little town of 5,000? And there's 60-something Baptist churches. I'm not counting all the other churches. Mom and pop churches, all those things like that. But God didn't tell us to go there and build a big church. Amen? He just said, go there and plant the seed. Preach the word. Amen? Water. God will give the increase. The mission field. And look at the message. Verse 35. Preached unto him Jesus. Folks, that's the message. Amen? We've got too many churches interested in entertaining people. Jesus is the answer to all our problems. Amen? I knew who Jesus was when growing up. I knew he died on the cross. I knew he was buried. I knew he rose again. Historically, I knew all about Jesus. I had religion, but I didn't have Jesus. But in April 1973, 1209 Lynn Street, he came in. And things changed, amen. I'll guarantee you, things got rearranged. Things got changed when Jesus came in, amen. Our problem is that we got too many people that got Jesus on them, a religion, and not Jesus in them. But he preached unto him Jesus, amen. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. He didn't preach Mary was the way. He didn't preach the church is the way. He didn't preach be good is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Folks, and the miracle in verse 36 and 39. Notice something. A change happened. When that Ethiopian eunuch got Jesus in his heart, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Amen. There's just something about when somebody gets saved that a change takes place. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. You're changed. We've got this crowd today that says they're saved. And I'm wondering about a lot of them. There's no difference. But there is a difference when Jesus comes in. I know this old sinner, first thing he did before the preacher of Harlow's got out of the door was get rid of all the alcohol. Amen. Got rid of all the country western music. I could name some names you guys wouldn't even know who they were. George Jones, Tammy Wynette, and Merle Haggard. Amen. He don't know those. He probably listens to those, some others when his daddy's not around. But anyway. But he desired to be baptized. He didn't have to beg him to be baptized. You didn't have to pull him to be baptized. You didn't threaten to be baptized. He said, what doth hinder me? Boy, I tell you what, when somebody gets saved, I'll tell you what, it's exciting. Amen. We just came out of a three-day meeting. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and last night. You started to get tired at my age. I stay tired. I thought we was going to sit over here so long a while ago, I was going to go to sleep sitting there. I'm thinking, hurry this thing up. I need to stay awake. Amen. You say, well, what happened in those 3 days? On the back row, on that side of the auditorium, there was a young man sitting there with his wife. She had come up. Matter of fact, she was raised in Independent Fundamental Baptist Church in Tidhall, Texas. Spanish church. She had sang in our church many times. We're a happy family. But she got married, and here's this guy sitting back there. And guess what? When the invitation was given, guess what? That adult young man, newly married young man, walked the aisle, and he got saved. Hey, man, well, that's okay. That was just one. The value of one. We sang about the value of one. And we think we're failures because we don't have thousands. We're not to keep count. God's doing that. Man, it's just getting one more soul to walk down the aisle. Amen. That's what missions is about. It doesn't matter where it is. If one more soul. And I think that's why God has given us a little bit more time, folks. The mission field. The message. The miracle. Let me go back to what I started with, Luis Recano Perez. Remember I told you? I was trying to find somebody, man, I was pumped up. You see 2,643 saved. You're a little jacked up a little bit, aren't you? Amen. You want to see just one more? And I found somebody I could talk to. And we went out there, and I looked in my pocket again. Man, I got a lot of trash in here. And I looked in my pocket, and I got this, a track out. And I said, Lewis, I'll tell you something first of all. I'm from Texas. Amen. Y'all crazy. I just testing you to see if you knew you're awake. But I said, look, this track has my address on the back of it, has my phone number. When you go back to Ecuador, if you come through Texas, call me. But I said, on the other side, it has a very interesting question. It said, if you die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, you know, that's a very interesting question. I said, well, me and you're fixing to get on that airplane out there, and we're going to fly back to Austria here. If that airplane goes down and we crash and die, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? He said, that's a very interesting question. I don't know. That young man, 23 years old, medical student, bowed his head with tears in his eyes, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him. That ain't the end of the story. He reached his back pocket. No, he didn't give me a love offering. He took out a pack of cigarettes. He said, I guess I'll have to give these up. Now, there was nothing said about giving your cigarettes up, but there's just something about when the Holy Spirit of God gets into somebody, he starts cleaning you up. And I tell you why, I said, wow. Then he looked at me and he said, what are y'all doing over here? I said, we're preaching the gospel and we're seeing people saved. I said, matter of fact, we've seen 2,643 people saved. He looked at me and said, plus one. Woo! Amen. Preacher, get excited, son. Amen. Don't just sit there. You know what? Yep. Plus one. Amen. Hey, man, you talking about being pumped up? Then I really pumped up. Plus one. The Ethiopian unit, you know what? He was plus one. Amen. Now, I don't know. The story of history says it. You know, whether you want to believe, they say he went back to Africa. And probably started a lot of church, got a lot of folks saved, churches started. We don't know that. In heaven one day we will. But God is so much interested in the one as he is the masses that he brought Philip away from preaching to the masses and brought him down to a desert place. You know, a lot of folks, and I thank God for churches your size, that a lot of towns out there that need a gospel preaching preacher. And it doesn't matter how desert it is, how few they are, they need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your bus route needs it. Your Sunday school class needs it. But I thought, you know, wow, plus one. That's what we need to do this week. We need to get involved in reaching one more. The value of one. God is not keeping this thing open that we can entertain ourselves. America deserves to be buried. Amen. But God is looking for one more soul to walk down the aisle. Do you understand that this is not a beauty contest? Man, we primp and prime and we get everything, trying to get it all in the right place and everything to look pretty when we come to church. Amen. God don't give a rip. Now, he doesn't want you to be modest dressed, okay? But God's concerned about one more soul. And let me tell you what, preacher, when he looked right at me and said, plus one, I almost had a Pentecostal fit. And that's two things I could brag on. I've had a Pentecostal fit, and I've been in a Southern Baptist church. Amen. God's good. Amen. Now, it's hard sometimes to sit and explain to you because I've been involved for 42 years in Faith Promise. But let me just challenge you. This week, let God speak to your heart. It's all the way through the Bible. It's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. And you want a tithe just to be honest with God. You don't want to be a thief. But where you really prove your love is those offerings. Tithing proves honesty. Those offerings prove you love God. And I don't know about you, but to me, the biggest offering you ought to have is your mission offering, because it's talking about reaching other people. And that's why we're here. Just if one more soul walked down the aisle. And that's what happened here with that Ethiopian eunuch. God cared about one more soul. He sent a soul winner to Gaza, to a desert place, for one more soul. And I think he let me see that. I came home and I preached that message when I got back. I was ready to go with that message. Amen. I already had the illustration. Plus one. Maybe here tonight. Listen. And you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you what the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Nothing else is going to get you to heaven. You say, well, preacher, one of these days. No, it's not one of these days. It's right now. Now is the time. Now is accepted time. You may not have tomorrow. Well, I tell you what, one thing I do a lot now that I'm getting a little bit older, I always do two things. I look in the paper. One of those, I look in the arrest section to see if I got any church members in the jail. Amen. And the next thing I look in the obituaries, well, I made it to the obituaries first, see if I'm there. If I'm not there, I'll go to work. But there are a lot of folks that are dying young. We had there in front of the country club just this past couple of days ago, to a head-on 23-year-old out into eternity. 3 or 4 years ago, one of our young men in our Christian school decided he wanted to make some money and ran from God. Never made a profession of faith, but never in his life, all the way through Christian school. Texting one night, ran off the road, 22 years old, killed him. I'm telling you what, young people, there's a lot of young people dying.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what the good news is. You can go to heaven when you die.
Yeah.
You just trust Jesus.
Yeah.
He preached unto him Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Plus one. Boy, I tell you what, that's what we're after. Just one more soul that walks down. Wouldn't it be good this week in a mission conference to have somebody saved? If it's just one, what's it worth to you? I don't know about you, preacher. I don't know if you've got any folks like this in your church, but you know there's a revival took place one time, and you know they had one person saved, and there's an old mossback deacon stood up and said, you know, I think we spent too much money on this revival. Amen. They probably spent $100. One guy stood up and said, you know, if you're worried about that, I'll take care of that. He said, because that was my son that got saved.
Amen.
What is the value of one? You know, when you invest, and by the way, that's what faith promises. It is investment. You're investing in souls for all eternity. All this other junk's going to pass away. Let me just challenge you. I've got a couple of minutes here. How much money do you spend on your cell phone? And we say we can't. You may not want me to come back anymore, but I just get personal. You know, you say, well, preacher, I can't give to Faith Promise Missions. How much is that cable bill? How much is that dish? Oh, but you know you got to have the Longhorn Station in Texas. I'm not knocking your phone, but you know, we spend more time on Facebook than we do at our face in the book. This is the mission conference. I better be nice. Because I may need to raise support one of these days. I don't want to kill myself right now before I raise support, right? That's what you said. Hey, we got the money.
Amen.
I told our folks, I said, we got all the money we need.
Yeah.
Good news, bad news. Good news is we got all of it. Bad news, you still got it in your pocket. Folks, look at the parking lot when you leave here. Those aren't cheap cars and trucks. It's our value system. God is not against you having things, but he's against things having you. And this faith promise is a sacrifice. It ought to cost us something to serve God. Again, it's not a beauty contest. It's a battlefield. And we better get back to the main business. And that's soul winning. It's not everything, but it's the main thing. Amen. God wants souls saved. When souls saved, he can build his church when souls are saved. Plus one.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.